Ladies and gentlemen, the garage is open once again, one more time. The EG3 show, volume 230. Eddie Greer III here with you guys, as always, for the EG3 show NASCAR podcast. We're all about, folks, the world of NASCAR, the world of NASCAR racing. Man, I botched that up. Epic World Truck Series. I'm going to roll with it. Xfinity Series. Monster Energy. NASCAR Cup Series. The three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And it is your weekly stage break here this evening on the eve of some racing tomorrow night. The trucks finished up practice earlier this afternoon. And they'll be on back on the racetrack in Fort Worth, Texas, tomorrow night. That's a late start there. If you're the East Coast, if you live in the Central Time, that's not as late, especially in the summer months. Xfinity Cup double dip this weekend as well. We're going 200 mile an hour plus down them straightaways this weekend. Man, it's going to be exciting, hopefully exciting and entertaining race. And I want to spend a stage weekly break this week. Of course, all the talk has been surrounded by the 418, and now I can throw in the 70 as well. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. Something, an article that I really, that caught my eye and enjoyed reading this article. I will talk about that for a little bit tonight. And also, I have my B team who is going to go up and challenge these guys. I've been talking about for quite a while now, who's going to step up and challenge these guys. And now you can throw, well, obviously in the 78 in there. They've been the class of the field, really, not just this year, but the last few seasons in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. I'll dive into that momentarily. Of course, I'm going to talk about the NBA Finals and throw a little change up on y'all. I got some NFL news that caught my attention today, at least for 10 minutes. But yes, back to the three-headed dragon that is Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, and Martin Truex Jr. This domination has gone back really to the second half of last year, where Kyle Busch woke up from the Joe Gibbs Racing absence of victory lane last year, and from there it was on. And then, of course, you had Martin Truex Jr. Really, he was really stout from, even though there were a couple hiccups here and there, but from start to finish, though, he was consistent, the model of fast each and every week from the start at Daytona all the way through, of course, his championship run at Miami. And, of course, Kevin Harvick, all three of these guys, are champions of the sport, as we all know by now. If you don't, then I don't know where you have been the last first half of the year, really last year. But the number of that caught my eye was 79%. That is going back to really the last 24 races, and this is really not even going back to Kyle Busch's win. This is starting at the postseason last year. 19 out of the last 24 races, we have seen one of these cars go to victory lane. Either the M&M's car, the Jimmy John's car, or Busch car, whatever you want to call it, the Mobile One car, or the Furniture Row / Bass Pro Shops car, or 5-hour car, you know, whatever week it is, depends on the week or whatever, what it is. These three cats have been the fast cats. And like I said, for me, in my opinion, it started all the way back, even before that, where Kyle Busch got hot. It just carried from there. So that's the other issue too, is when the driver gets hot, and we've seen, you know, really what I talked about in the post race pod at Pocono earlier this week, that I felt that all the attention was on Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick, yes, and when it should, and that's coming from, yes, an MTJ fan over here in the Midwest. But again, you know, Kevin Harvick, he's had the dominant car throughout the season, pretty much what Truex had a year ago, leading a total of 900 laps, over 900 laps coming into this weekend at Michigan, where we're going to see pretty much, again, fast race cars go around that racetrack. Again, Kyle Busch right up in the mix as well, and that Pocono race was a perfect example of who's the top dogs right now. 418. Now you're going to throw the 70 in there. And then, by the way, you know, that wasn't his first win of the year. Talking about Truex, he smoked. And the last time we were at a 2 mile oval, the 78 smoked the field at Fontana in back in March. So, you know, this is not his first win. This is his second win of the year. And who knows what's going to happen when we fire them engines up this weekend at Xfinity. You know, by the way, I'm going to have my Stone Cold Locks, by the way, here coming up because of the fact that the trucks will be racing tomorrow night, so I changed things up on y'all a little bit. So this is kind of a packed stage break episode, so definitely sit back, relax, and enjoy some EG3 show with yours truly, Eddie Gritter III. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight on the eve of Michigan/Texas weekend. But going back again to the 7-8 winning on 2 mile, Harvick, Busch standing away, Kyle Larson, all this talk about Larson going for 4 in a row this weekend. And personally, for Kyle Larson's success at that racetrack, he got his first career cup win there. For all that success he's had there, I mean, he's been right there in the mix. And I'm going to get to his case momentarily here. This is a perfect transition into that. But he's gonna have to unload in the ballpark, because each and every week we see Harvick right there, Busch right there, and a couple other cats, of course the 7-8 as well. So, you know, he's gonna have his hands full. And then this article also, and if you're wondering what I'm talking about, you're going to have to go to NBCSports.com, hit the NASCAR section. This came early this week. I read this, and this really opened my eyes to what we've been seeing, really, in my opinion, over the last year and a half or 2 years at that. Because these three cats that we're seeing winning, they've been involved in Championship 4 on numerous occasions. Harvick and Busch probably one more than Truex. And then you have the fourth is a question mark. I know people are getting upset. Well, ew, it's too early. I understand. Yes, I understand it's too early to talk about the playoffs. But when the summer months, or when drivers step up, rise out of the ashes, rise out of the heat, battle the heat, and rise up to the challenge and challenge these guys. So we have not seen that yet. Probably one car, maybe two, can challenge, maybe three, and I have my three who can get up there and challenge the A team of Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, and Martin Truex Jr. in here at that. But there was also a stat in here as well, which kind of surprised me as well. You take away the restricted plate tracks, Daytona, Talladega, which Truex always wrecks in them. Yeah, Harvick have his issues. And Kyle Busch, you know, these guys aren't automatic locks on plate racing either. You take away those, 19 of 21. Good gracious, that's an A average right there. Almost 91% of the time that you see one of those cars go back to victory lane. That is astounding. And it also mentioned about, I totally forgot about this, and I remembered it going back 10 years ago when we see Carl Edwards, Jimmy Johnson, and you throw in Kyle Busch in this mix also. So Kyle, this is not the first time we've seen domination from this 18. We've seen it when back in 2008, 2009, 2010-ish, Jimmy Johnson at his prime, or such prime there is, because Jimmy Johnson was winning everything. We've seen like Carl Edwards one point or another. I've talked about him here and then on this podcast about what if he sealed the deal, win that championship a couple years ago when he had the fastest car at Homestead. And Kyle Busch, this trio won 17 of 24 races at a span from Sonoma that started in California June of 08 that ended in Las Vegas of the next year. So the sport right now is going through seeing another domination phase of these three cars. Two of them drive Toyotas, the other drives a Ford, and the other part of it is that Stewart Haas, the whole entire organization, has had their complete arms around this Ford manufacturer now, and it took them pretty much two-thirds, pretty much all the way up until the start of the playoffs for Stewart Haas Racing, that they started to click, and from Chicagoland, Harvick was right up there with Truex, and obviously I keep talking about the past that probably would change the attitude of this team at Texas when Harvick passed Truex there with 10 to go there and set sail on the field and kind of set momentum into this year. So that was just an interesting thought of itself also. But whew, I mean, again, the last two races that we've seen, a 4, an 18, a 7, 8, have led laps. 560 total laps, of course. Look at this number. 510 laps of the, 560 laps in the last two races. This is the Coca-Cola 600, where Kyle Busch pretty much put the whooping stick out again. And, of course, the Pocono racer, Kevin Harvick, had the dominant car again and could not close the deal out in that fashion. Got out Fox there late in the race. So these laps here, and you know, all this talk about, yes, you know, Chevy's there improving, you know, and all this, you know, for me all as well, we're starting to see it all as well. But when are we going to see somebody else step up? Well, I have three drivers that I think that could make a lot of noise this summer. And once it's not start with the obvious that I have is Kyle Larson. Obviously, Larson in the middle of this, finishing second last week at Pocono. And this actually, for me, goes back to when I saw him at Kansas City leading all those laps. He passed Kevin Harvick late in that race, and he should have won that race. But he had a little date with Ryan Blaney there, made a little contact with him. Still rallied back to finish in the top five that night, but for hella sure, Kyle Larson looked to be the man of that race, and that's also a stat too that's mind-boggling. Is all of those lead lap success, he has not won a mile and a half track. All his wins coming on these types of tracks, two mile racetracks primarily. These two right here, Michigan, and we've already finished Fontana, where he finished second to Truex there. So we no doubt know the talent of this driver. The question is, there's been a little inconsistency this year. And again, you throw in a Camaro situation that we're still trying to get our arms around this blah, 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 and all this other stuff. And now we're getting into the point of the summer months that should we see the performance from this team. And there's been inconsistencies, especially early this year. You know, they've been, by far, my books at least, have been the best Chevy Camaro out here. So definitely, Kyle Larson is definitely in the books, and there's already predictions last week from the Fox crew that Larson's going to go up there and challenge these guys. Well, yes, you have that, but you know, also what irks at me is the thought of, you know, everybody saying, when if Larson gets there, you know, it's a done deal. Larson can get around there, the best driver anybody can get around there. So did Carl Edwards at one point or another. And what happened to him? Missed opportunity, not winning a championship. And we never know if Carl Edwards, I keep saying this on my podcast, Carl Edwards, if he closes the deal down, will he still be racing? We don't know that for sure. So again, you know, all this automatic, you know, Kyle Larson's going to win a homestead, win a championship. He's got to get there first. And it exactly what happened last year, exactly why, you know, Busch, Harvick, Truex had his little adventure in April, having some bad races there. So again, you cannot rule out it. They have downright speed. That's cut and dry right there. But the outside the outside factors, what could or break your championship hopes, or all your engine comes together, or you make a mistake on pit road, loose wheels, things like that, those could be the outcomes. And Kyle Larson is actually a perfect example of that. No matter how talented you are, especially at a racetrack, you know you get your arms around. He's dominated the last two Homestead races, but he ain't win nothing. EG3 Show Stage Break Edition, Eddie Gritter III. He with you guys tonight. Jam packed stage break, just breaking down the three-headed dragon of the 418 and the 78, and just dive into my next category, which is the B team, that which could challenge those other three. But Larson, in my book, is definitely in my book, and for sure. But again, he's a perfect example because the engine took him out of Kansas City. That took him out of any chances in that of contending for a championship, and that just went downhill from there. So we know how momentum can really take, especially good momentum. We know how high it can carry you, but also if a big ass load low takes you out like an engine failure like Larson, that can spiral you down real quick. So definitely he's an example of that. My other two drivers are Penske drivers. First one, Ryan Blaney. He's had the fastest car out of the Penske camp. I know Logano has been Mr. Consistency this year, but Blaney's has had, up until last week, he's had a kind of a rough go at it with outside circumstances, like I just talked about. You know, he's had speed, but outside circumstances have taken him out of races here in the last 3 or 4 weeks, and up until a top 10 finish at Pocono last week. Blaney could have won a Daytona 500, but he got impatient late, leading the race at Pocono, leading a lot of laps. You know, he's won two poles. He was in contention in case Casey. They were Harvick and Larson. And Larson, and of course, I mentioned it already on the stage break, Blaney, Larson got together, and Blaney ended Blaney's night. So he was right up there in the mix. So he definitely has speed for sure. And I would not be surprised to see him at some point go to victory lane, because we know we have Kentucky coming up here in the summer months here. One of his better tracks. He's won there a couple times in the Xfinity. I'm just throwing that out there for those who don't know. But the 12 car, it has been fast. Of course, the crew chief, Jeremy Bullens. And this is the potential he's got. He's got the potential to do something with it. But he's led the third most laps, I believe. I can check that out real quick. The gas might have changed, but for sure, yeah, he's got the third most laps in the series right now. Ryan Blaney, 429 laps led going in this thing with the addition of three playoff points with it. And those are stage wins by Blaney. So again, he gets that win. He can start creeping up there into this mix. So again, Blaney right there up there. And then Mr. Consistency I have on here, Joey Logano. 11 top 10s. That is tied for the most with Harvick and Kyle Busch. Again, his laps aren't quite up there with those guys, the 4 and the 18, but the consistency is there. And if he can find some speed here and there, Logano will be right up there. And this is a cat right here. You know, we saw him up until last year, you know, with the failed post-race inspection and all, compete for championships, get to the championship four, and be right there in the mix, but can't close the deal. So Logano knows how to win in the playoffs and knows how to progress himself through the rounds. So I have him right there in the B group, and that's where I'm going to stop right there, because that's what I have right there. Because, you know, you're the A group of Rowdy, Happy, and MTJ. My next, the 42 of Young Larson, YRB, Ryan Blaney, and Joey Logano. I think, you know, the Penske camp, you know, they have won, only one win so far. Could have a little bit more, and if we see some more speed out of this camp, then for sure, why not put maybe two of these cats in position? But they gotta have to start winning races to do that. And of course, Larson being the high man in the Chevy camp right now, of course, Hendrick Motorsports, you know, trying to make strides here beginning of the summer. You know, last year they were the exact opposite. They were nowhere to be found last year in the summer. So this is the summer is where you try to make your move, right here, trying to make a statement and get up there with the contenders of the sport right now. And for sure, we're definitely seeing that right now. The three-headed dragon, Harvick, Kyle Busch, Martin Truex. You know, it's been a chess game up there, but we'll see who can make a statement here. And definitely Kyle Larson, the numbers, the speed, it's all right there. It's the obvious that he could definitely make a play this weekend. We'll just have to wait and see. There's 200 laps to decide that. We'll find out here this weekend at Michigan EG3 Show, stage break style, 80 degree to third here with the guys tonight on this stage break edition of the EG3 Show, all about the latest in the world of NASCAR. Before I dive into the NBA Finals, let's look at the NASCAR schedule real quick. Tomorrow night, PPG 400. I hope that's right. Yeah, okay, that is right. So, double check it real quick. You know, they don't run 400 laps here. All right, so the Truck Series tomorrow night on FS1. MRN has coverage. PPG 400 at Texas. I'm going to give you my stone cold lock here in a little bit on who is going to do well at this race or possibly win the thing. Again, time is 9 o'clock Eastern Time. I was right. That accumulates to 8 o'clock Central Time for listening states of Kansas, Michigan, Oklahoma, and of course, Fort Worth, Texas, down there as well. And they're paired up this weekend with the IndyCar Series. More on that on Analyzing the Field tomorrow night when I get that recorded. The Xfinity Series, Saturday, LTI Printing 250 kicks off doubleheader weekend at Michigan. Fox will have both races this weekend. Coverage 1:30 Eastern Time, 12:30 Central. Fox MRN has that. And the Big Dogs, the Cup Series, where Kyle Larson will try to make history. Will that happen? Got to tune to Fox to find out. 2 o'clock Eastern Time, 1 o'clock Central Time. And like I said, Fox will have both of those races for you guys locked down. So there you have it on that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, now turn our page here for a little bit on the NBA Finals. And last night, Game 3 was a mirror image of Game 3 last year. And Kevin Durant, I made a tweet last night that the Cavs are going to see another nightmare thanks to Kevin Durant. No answer for Kevin Durant, even with Steph Curry not even at his best game, some 3-for-16 from the field. Couldn't get it done. And yet the Cavs still lose the ball game. And the one-man show, the circus of LeBron James, is going to come to close on Friday night. I just got a feeling of that. I mean, yes, the predictions, y'all, this is not going to be in a series. Cleveland had their opportunity in Game 1 to pretty much steal Game 1 of the series and make a statement to possibly make hell for Golden State. That has not happened. They jumped out to a double-digit lead last night at home, where they've been a different team. Rodney Hood had a great game, but it was all for naught. LeBron James and company now with their backs against the wall at home. And the guys at ESPN made a predicament, or I should say predicament, made a one bold stat that we have not seen is a sweep. And what way to do that? Golden State Warriors all year long have not been the best team in the NBA all year, record-wise, in any ways. And what statement would that send to the Cavaliers tomorrow night if they pull this off in enemy territory? My goodness, that would be something else if the Warriors sweep the Cavaliers on their home floor. But I already said that LeBron James show circus is going to come to close pretty much. That's what everybody's saying. And I agree 100%. And everybody's saying he could be a Laker. You know, I think the Clippers are out the window for sure for me. I think if he is going to go on the West Coast, that will really swing the balance of power. The Western Conference is already a juggernaut as it is with Durant over there. But, you know, Golden State, for what it is, everybody's saying, oh, and this ain't, they're boring, all this. You know, I like watching them play basketball. This is my opinion. So they are fun to watch. And as fun, as much as I wanted to see them close it out at Oracle Arena next week, I'd rather see them close it out on the road, because that's what they did a couple years ago, winning their first NBA championship. Close it out on LeBron's home floor, celebrate on their floor, and karma's going to come back, and the Warriors, they'll find a way to get by the Cavaliers in Cleveland and sweep them. And, yeah, pretty much slam the door on 2017-18 NBA season. So pretty much, hopefully, for what it is, it's pretty much my bold prediction is a sweep. But even if the Cavs do win this game tomorrow night, they have to win pretty much four in a row. I definitely, hell no, don't see that happening. So even if the Cavs win, I think Warriors will close at home just like they did last year. A curtain copy of last year, where Cavs stayed alive, but they were shut down in game five, win the series in five games. So, but the Warriors have the opportunity again to sweep the Cavaliers again for the second consecutive season. So the Warriors, Kevin Durant made a stamp last night. Durant was on a tear last night. And all of a sudden, the Warriors are a game away from going back-to-back NBA titles. So we'll see what happens in game four, but doesn't look good, too good for LeBron James, Tyronn Lue, and company right there. So there is an NBA update there. And now, finally, NFL. Yep, change up is the NFL. And I stumbled on this while I was on a little bit of a break on the road. Terrell Owens, who, of course, finally got his name into the Hall of Fame, one of the nominees for the class, this year's class of the Hall of Fame 2018, says he would not attend the actual ceremony. And he already let the committee, Hall of Fame know, whatever, that he wasn't going to attend this and that. And I got to tell you, many of us would like to go to Hall of Fame, at least at some point. Not all of us will have the opportunity to do that, but hey, at least one point or another, we dreamt of going to Hall of Fame. And being that, Terrell Owens, yeah, he wants to do it, create his own ceremony and whatnot, but I think that's kind of a little bit of selfish, you ask me. You finally, after all this, heartbreak and not getting in because of coaches, he's a great player on the field, but also he's a great player on the field, but can't get along with teammates, this and that, coaches, blah, 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 having this and that, this is my team, all this other stuff. But he's making it definitely about himself, not about the other guys around him. And that's just kind of selfish to me, to be quite honest, because that's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity right there. I know he's in the Hall of Fame. Yes, he's supposedly in, but he's not even going to attend the actual ceremonies, which, for I don't know why, because didn't really state a specific reason or anything like that. But I just think, I'll have my, if I were nominated for something like that or something close to that, or like community award or something, yeah, I would definitely be honored to speak or do something along the lines of that. But Terrell Owens decided that, I'm not going to go. I'm just going to, wait until, play, do my own thing, pretty much. I hate that, man. Fan, you've waited so freaking long to get yourself in the Hall of Fame. You've been heartbroken. You got other guys got jumped in for you, did, and all this and that. You're one of the best wide receivers to touch the football, but not going to the end of not going to your own ceremony with the other guys. To me, that's just damn selfish. Yeah, you want to be about yourself, but you want to enjoy it with other people too. At least I would, have the opportunity, mission, Matt. You're going with a high stout class, and I don't have that list on me right now, but that was like, damn, you're not going to go to Hall of Fame, not even going to go attend the ceremony. That's like missing your own graduation or something like that. You achieved the highest of highs. You don't go to high school graduation or college graduation. That's just plain stupid. Ask me. He ain't really explain his situation. He basically made it about himself, and then maybe down the line I'll celebrate my own enshrinement to the Hall of Fame and this and that. So, I mean, that's strong words coming out of me. I don't know how you guys see it, but hey, I'm just telling what it is. I just think it's selfish to, you know, make this all about yourself again. You know, you're not the only person. This goes back to what I said about the whole, you know, Jeff Gordon thing that Race Hub did a few weeks ago. That, you know, that kind of irritated me a little bit. You know, make it all about Jeff Gordon, not about, you know, Jeff Gordon works for Fox, so we're going to do it all about him. He's not the only freaking one to get in the Hall of Fame. You know, there's all four guys also with Jeff Gordon who made it, who did right research. So we want to hear from family members too, damn it. And this goes right to Terrell Owens, you know, selfish. These people making freaking $1 million, and you know, I'm just not gonna attend. So that's just, I think it's freaking selfish, and you know, for what it is, I mean, that's fine, but on top of that, I think it's downright selfish. You miss out on a once in a lifetime opportunity. You know, everyone wants to see you put on the yellow jacket, the famous yellow jacket. Everyone wants to know your story. You know, you're a person that maybe someday kids might look up to you or something like that, or already are looking up to you. T.O. is an icon, one of the icons of the NFL sport still. So, you have that, but not to attend something special like this. That's like not winning a championship in NASCAR and not attending the awards. You lost your mind. So, yeah, that's my little spill on that. So, any other news on the NFL? Julian Edelman. So, we won't be seeing him for another, 4 or 5 weeks in the NFL season, because he got popped by using PEDs. So, you know, I'm not even going to go there with that. But Julian Edelman, you know, he was injured last year, ACL. One of the many ACL injuries in the football last year. We've seen a couple already in off-season workouts. And Edelman gets hit with the PED. So, he's going to be out for 4 games. So, what's it look now? They already lost Amendola to the Miami Dolphins. So, Edelman not going to be with the team again. So, you know, for all of the heroics of that Super Bowl, I am not going to touch that subject and whatnot. And, you know, the bad luck continues for Edelman since that point, since that Super Bowl anyways. So, Edelman will be benched some more come this year, so when the NFL started, NFL football comes around. EG3 Show, thanks for hanging out on the Stage Break Edition. Eddie Gritter III for the EG3 Show. We're all about the latest in the world of NASCAR. Before I get to my Stone Cold Locks of the week, we got a question coming out from OKC, and I'm finally getting to one of these questions now. So thank you for sending them in to me. Again, you have a question, you can email me or inbox me at my Twitter at @ed_eddie_eg3, or post a question at one of the statuses on the facebook.com/eg3show page. So, but for this week, we got Devin from OKC, Oklahoma City, doing it big. And he asked, his question to me was, how many wins will Chevy have before the postseason arrives? That's a good question, Devin. Thanks for sitting in from OKC area, Central Time, man. You know what it is. But, Devin, to answer your question, I mean, I kind of dismissed the Daytona win because Austin Dillon. So, kind of forgot about that a little bit when I talked about Chevys and getting into victory lane a few weeks ago. I did a lot of episodes since then. But, man, I mean, you know, Kyle Larson, you know, all this but anticipation about Kyle Larson winning. And then you have Chase Elliott. Let's not forget about him. He's been runner up at this track. And then let's look past Michigan into the other places, you know, the improvement. And also the I know I'm kind of getting a little bit too deep into this, but the Camaros and having their arms, you know, out of left field, trying to get their arms around this car, this nose, and all this anticipation about the Camaros going up there and competing with the specifically the Toyotas, that's not paid off. But we've seen steps here and there. You know, Jimmy Johnson, Chase Elliott, Alex Bowman, Henrik Camp. Then you have Kyle Larson, Jimmy McMurray starting to show step up a little bit. Those guys, Almendinger, you know, in the potential of seeing Almendinger win on a world course. And then you have Michigan again, Pocono and those cats. And then let's not rule out Ford and Toyota, but the focus on yours. How many will they get? How many more will they get? With 12 races to go. What's to see here? Yeah, two Michigan races, Pocono, Indianapolis, where Chevy won last year. Man, that's really hard to say. You know, I'm going to go with the under here. I'm going to give you under here, Devin. I'm going to go and say, wow. I'm going to go under four here. That four might be being a little generous, because I'm just counting the success of Larson, possibly a Chase Elliott finally breaking through the victory lane. Maybe Jimmy Johnson sneaks in there, gets a win here and there. Maybe RCR, maybe Ryan Newman pulls a rabbit out of hat. I'm going to go the under. I'm going to go four. So that will be a total of five. So that's really, but I'm saying under, not over. So that's giving you a hint. So under four, that's the safe bet right there, folks. Because, you know, I talked about earlier about Harvick, Busch, and Truex. They don't drive Chevrolets. So you got that going for you. I got that going for me there. So in the potential of seeing a Chevy pretty high in victory lane this weekend. So Devin, to answer your question, I'm going to go four under four. That's why I got it asked. So definitely, you know, they're getting better each and every week, but they still, you know, they're not leading laps. I mean, yes, Jimmy Johnson still lead two little laps at Pocono, and he has one more lap led than Justin Marks. Unfortunately, I can't make fun of that anymore, but that was fun when it lasted. But the potential, really, I have my eyes on the 42 and the 9. Is the best option for the Chevy. I mean, yes, Austin Dillon, your Daytona 500 champ, but you know he's been very consistent since then. Been really out of the conversation. Really, I forgot he even in the playoffs, but he's going to be in the playoffs future that win. So, and then again, I didn't even say Daytona, but the Fords have stranglehold on the plate tracks. So, under four, that's my answer. That's what I'm going to go with. And thank you for the question of the week, brought to you by Devin from OKCEG3 Show. We now have finally got to, finally, my fantasy Stone Cold Locks of the week. Yes, this is not on the preview show, but changing things up a little bit. I'm doing it on the stage break, so thanks for hanging around with the EG3 show. All right, so now, last week, I said on the show, verbally, I said Denny Hamlin and Justin Allgaier, verbally, at least on the cup side, but I kept Allgaier, and Allgaier, of course, got in that wreck with Christopher Bell, didn't really score any points there, and Denny Hamlin, he also wrecked out, but my backup was Kyle Larson, so he scored second place points for me there as well. So now turn the page over to the truck, starting with them, the truck series. He's been on my mind as of late. My Stone Cold Lock for tomorrow night, and he's been running pretty damn good on mountain halves this year. Future of leading lines with Kyle Busch Motorsport. He has shown the potential of running up there with Johnny Sauter and them boys. Brett Moffitt is my Stone Cold Lock. Stuart Friesen, Iceman, number 52. Is going to finish up there in the top five, possibly get up there and contend for the win tomorrow night. He is I'm dead serious. He's shown the speed in that truck, that 52 truck. That's my lock right there for the truck series tomorrow night, the PPG 400K. Stuart Friesen is going to give them a run for the money tomorrow night in the truck series. Saturday, the Xfinity. Now, I'm picking an Xfinity regular, not no cup guy. So I was going back and forth, obviously, between Daniel Hemric and Cole Custer. Cole Custer is quietly, he's been right up there in the mix, battling for wins, and so has Daniel Hemric. Daniel Hemric has been kind of the spokesperson, in my opinion, of the Xfinity series, and he's been long thirsting for a first win in the series. But, man, my mind says Daniel Hemric, but I gotta go with Cole Custer here as my Stone Cold lock in the Xfinity Series Saturday for another strong one, possibly. And what does he drive? A Ford Mustang. And he drives for Stuart Haas Racing. So again, he has not touched victory lane yet, but he's been pretty damn close to that. So my lock there, my fantasy lock there in the Xfinity is Cole Custer, which brings up to the Monster Energy Series Fire Keepers Casino 400 on Sunday afternoon. And I kind of made a prediction that Kyle Larson wasn't going to win four in a row. I'm just going to try to do something different like Brad Keselowski. Because everybody's eyes going to be on that 42 and trying to make history. But for some reason, I've got to go with my Georgia brethren, Chase Elliott. Stone Cold Lock It, baby. Chase Elliott, I know I can pick Martin Truex Jr. each and every week. I know I can do that. But for to look at on the media, to be an immediate person for a second here, Chase Elliott has finished second, what, like 3 years in a row? Two of his last three races. And for some reason, Kyle Larson got his first win, cup win, at that same track. Elliott has shown a lot of speed as of late. And I got to do it. Chase Elliott's going to go to victory lane, possibly finishing the top five, and a safe bet to finish in the top 10. Anything other than that, it could be a disappointment. But Chase Elliott is one of those guys that we've been kind of been waiting for pretty much since probably last year, really, to see the breakout star that he is. Chase Elliott, the Chevy Camaros, I talked about it with the Devin question, trying to get their arms around it here. The summertime is the perfect time to rise up out of the ashes and start doing something and making some kind of statement to your top competition, to MTJ, to Harvick, to Kyle Busch, that here, we're here to compete with you guys each and every week. My Stone Cold Fantasy Lock, Chase Elliott in that 9. I think, you know, for what it is, you know, as much as we all want to see 42 cash and close the deal on Sunday, I think somebody else is going to get in there, victory lane. I think that 9 might have something to do with that, Kyle's buddy right there. So there you have it, my Stone Cold Fantasy Locks of the week. Could be a big weekend. I got Stuart Friesen tomorrow night. Cole Custer, I'm going to stick with it. And I said it verbally, so I've got to stay with it. And Chase Elliott for Hendrick Motorsports in that 9 car, looking for that elusive first Marsh Energy NASCAR Cup Series victory. EG3 shows on Facebook.com/EG3Show for the latest there. Check us out right there, and I'll get you up to speed on that this weekend. Stay close attention to that. Check it out. And, of course, Pod Center. The EG3 show is on many. On where you can find podcasts, put it in your plethora of podcasts throughout the week. Audio Boom, Spotify. Follow us on iTunes. Subscribe, rate, and review us as well. That is much appreciated. And we are on iHeartRadio. And to add another one, SoundCloud. I am kind of behind on uploading the recent episodes that I've done, which is quite a lot, as you heard at the top of the broadcast today. EG3 show on SoundCloud. I've added 2 more this morning, and I'll add the rest of the recent episodes here, including the next 2 that I did. Of course, I did a little special that is going to come on up all the way up until through Indianapolis race to the playoffs, kind of focusing on one driver quest to get in the playoffs and make something happen. And of course, the stage break that I'm just recording now, about to wrap up here in a minute. And so definitely SoundCloud, definitely check that out as well. Again, we're on those as well. Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast from. And spread the word about the EG3 show, where we guys will join the movement, folks. That's right. Join the movement. The train is moving to Michigan/Texas, wherever you are at this weekend. We got podcasts all over the place this weekend. We got half the PETM guys up there. Sherwin's up there with Brandon from Lap Traffic. Also, listen to their podcast as well, Lap Traffic, PETM. You got Loose Lugs breaking out a double dip this weekend, along with a couple others that I'm missing. Mo, the Britain podcast as well, a couple others that I have not listened to as well. So definitely I'm adding it to my collection of podcasts that I listen to daily. I encourage you to do the same, including this one, the EG3 show. Y'all know where it is. And before I close the show, yes, so again, like I mentioned, the post-race podcast earlier this week, we're trying to get to 1,000 listens. If it reaches 1,000 listens throughout any point this summer, I will interview a driver of my choice. It will kind of spoil it a little bit, but I'm going to leave you in suspense. So I've not interviewed a driver since really the middle of last year. So definitely I want to save that until we get there. But the numbers have been climbing. I have been amazed at the amount of support and listens that this podcast has had. So definitely I'm excited to where this direction this podcast is going. So definitely our goal is to get to 1,000 listens here. And then I can start looking at, I have definitely potential drivers that want to come onto the show. So definitely continue to spread the word of the mouth about the EG3 Show podcast, folks. It is definitely where it's at, the EG3 Show. And I thought I had something else to say, but I lost it. But the garage is going to be closed. That is going to wrap it up, folks, for the EG3 Show tonight, Stage Break Edition. Thank you for tuning in tonight on the EG3 Show. It's quite a long one. Usually, the stage break doesn't last over 30 minutes. But I had a lot to share with you guys tonight. And a lot of information going out. And, of course, we got the Michigan race going on this weekend. And don't forget about the FS1 truck race that's going to be happening tomorrow night at Fort Worth, Texas, 9 Eastern Time, 8 o'clock Central Time. Do not forget about that, ladies and gentlemen. So, a lot of racing going on this weekend and a lot of anticipation going into this weekend. But for right now, we got to close up shop. Thank you once again for tuning into the EG3 Show. And we got, of course, our analyzing the field this week coming up when a starting lineup is set from qualifying tomorrow night. I'll have that along with the latest news breaking from Michigan. But right now, closing doors in the EG3 Show once again. Ladies and gentlemen, have a good rest of your night. Again, have not listened to the post-race podcast of Pocono, I encourage you to do that as well as race to the playoffs. EG3, we rolling out. Thanks for listening.